Thank you, gentlemen. If you have your Bibles tonight, please turn with me to the book of 1 John. 1 John, I'm reading from chapter 1. For the first verse of Scripture. Chapter 1, verse 7, and this is what it says, "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." 1 John 2, beginning with the first word of the first verse, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not." I realize that there is a doctrine that's quite prominent that tells us we have to sin a little bit every day. If that is true, then this is a commandment given by God that is impossible to keep. Have you ever thought of that? He emphatically, even dogmatically, tells us, sin not, but knowing frail human flesh. He said, "And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." I want to use for a subject tonight, preaching a few minutes, the leprosy of sin. I will actually be preaching from Leviticus chapters 13 and 14, and it would sound strange to read verses of Scripture in 1 John 1 and 2. But the only way the old covenant could be brought to full fruition was through the new covenant, Jesus Christ. The leprosy of sin. Would you bow your heads, please? Father, as I speak these words tonight, I ask that you help me. I want to say nothing that would bring dishonor to thy word or work. I want to do nothing or say nothing that would hinder the flow and the move of the Spirit. We believe you have given us this message. We believe you've given it to us for particular people that are here tonight, even for all that are here. So as we handle the Word of God, help us to handle it carefully and delicately, for it is able to save our soul. And I'll ask you not only to anoint me, help my tongue to become as the pen of a ready writer, and anoint these people tonight. And I ask it all in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen and amen. I was in Calcutta, India, just before Christmas. There is no way that human words can describe Calcutta. It has been called the hellhole of the world. I do not say that disparagingly regarding the great Indian nation. No. They're very intelligent people. They're brilliant people. But because of their religion, not because of their lack of ability, not because of their lack of education or knowledge, they're not backwards people, they're very forward. But because of heathenistic, demon-inspired religion, it's a country that worships some 300 million gods, we are told. They are bound and steeped in Hindu bondage that chokes and boggles the mind and staggers the nation. And the hope for any nation of the world and the hope for any person is Jesus Christ and Jesus only. As I was going into the compound that houses Mark Buntane's church on Royd Street, He's been there 25 years. It's something going on at that church 24 hours a day. It never stops. 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, they're having church. It's like nothing you've ever seen before. He's built 42 churches and preaching points other than this main church in Calcutta. Our organization will supply the funds starting January 1st for him to build a new 2,000-seat auditorium in the heart of Calcutta. But as I stopped at the checkpoint there, 10 million souls crowded into Calcutta. We stopped at the little house. A man with smiling affection shook my hand. There were a great number of people, as always, standing in the yard there of the church, if you would call it that. After we drove away, the ladies sitting in the car with us, the travel all actually, she said, "Brother Swaggart, this man was once a leper. He once had the dread disease of leprosy. But he's been gloriously saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, and healed by the mighty power of God. He's cleansed now." Here in the United States, we really do not know what leprosy is. Some parts of Africa, they tell us that one out of every five Africans have contracted the dread disease of leprosy. There is what is commonly called a leprosarium in Louisiana. It's not far from Baton Rouge. But actually, it's not the same type of leprosy that was recorded in the Bible. It's actually called Hansen's disease. It's bad, but it has no resemblance. I know I was reading the commentaries today studying this subject, and it has no resemblance whatsoever, the type of leprosy that we call leprosy here in the States, to the Old Testament leprosy. It would boggle the mind if you would see those that had contracted the dread disease of leprosy as recorded in the Old Testament. And even in the Gospels, Jesus healed them. The disease would start. It would affect their body, and their fingers would eventually be eaten away and finally just drop off their hands. Toes would finally be eaten away and drop off their feet. Hands would be eaten off. Ears would fall off. Nose eaten away. It was so despicable and so degradable and so horrible that it boggles the mind and defies description. There was no cure for it other than God. God chose to use leprosy as a type of sin. He didn't bring it upon the human race, of course, but as you read of leprosy in the Old Testament, it is a biblical type of sin, because there was no other sickness, there was no other disease so putrefying, so stench-ridden, so horrible, so hideous. And God used this debacle of hell to describe the world's worst malady, the malady of sin. He wanted something graphic, something diabolical, something that would serve as a constant reminder that sin is the most hideous, horrible product of hell that your mind could begin to imagine. Whenever the individual would come before the priest with a sore on his body, the priest would examine it. You can read Leviticus 13 and 14 yourselves when you get home. He would quarantine the individual for 7 days. If at the end of 7 days the sore was healing, he would pronounce him clean and he did not have leprosy. But if the sore was doing certain things, turning certain colors and beginning to spread and go deep, Not just on the surface. That was the reason for the quarantine, to see if it was just on the surface or going deep. And if he ascertained it was going deep, he pronounced the horrid sin of leprosy. Let me tell you this, sin goes deep. You understand what I'm saying? It goes deep. I realize that churches today are fussing and squabbling over externals. The length of a lady's hair, the length of a man's hair, the color of a tie, a ring on a finger, all of these externals. But that's not sin. That's not sin. We fuss over it. We fight over it. We quarrel over it. The color of a suit of clothes and all of this type of thing. But that's not sin. Jesus said it's not what goeth in that defileth, but it's what cometh out of the heart that defileth the man. That is sin. That is sin. No, I'm not giving you license to dress immodestly, dear lady. No, I'm not giving you license to conduct yourself immodestly in any shape, form, or fashion. But we must not be hung up on externals that are insignificant, that do not pertain to anything that is valuable, and overlook that which is deadly and will kill. For out of the heart proceedeth murders and adultery and fornication and these vile sins that will damn the soul. It's deep. It goes deep. It attacks the vitals of the human spirit. That's what I want you to understand. Some churches treat it like it's a surface matter. It doesn't really matter. Do the best you can and you can get to heaven. Makes no difference. A man staggers up to me in a hotel room in a southern city. He's drinking. He's inebriated. His eyes are running tears and his face is flushed. His tongue is thick. He sees me sitting there. He's startled. He walks over to me. Before I could say anything, he grabs my hand and said, "You're Jimmy Swaggart." I said, "Yes, yes." And he sobs before me. He says, "I need God." He says, I'm bound. I can't stop. My home's wrecked." About that time, his wife comes up. We're standing in a lobby. I stand up. The lobby's full of people. They're having a convention. People are walking around with little funny hats on their heads. They're walking around with little lapels, little identification buttons on their lapels, and they're laughing, and this man standing there crying says, "My God, I need help. My home's going to pieces. My life's wrecked. I'm destroyed. I can't stop. I can't quit. I get up and I'm screaming. My nerves are screaming for a drink. I go to bed and I'm screaming for a drink. My God, it's hell." His wife stands there weeping. If God doesn't help us, we're lost. Let me tell you, sin is no funny game. Are you hearing me? And these weak-kneed, back-slapping, ear-tickling, tiptoeing through the tulips preachers that says it's nothing too much to get worried about, they're going to answer to God for millions that are going to hell and will burn there forever. I stood up there, and I don't know, I'm a little peculiar anyway. I didn't care. I looked around, and I started praying for that brother, throwing my arms around him, and I started praying, and I didn't say, "Jesus." I said, "Oh, God." Man, I want you to know that place got so quiet you could have heard a pin drop. People stood stock still and froze. Why is it if you curse, nobody thinks anything about it, but you use the greatest name that the tongue of man can proclaim or tell, and men stiffen? I'll tell you why. It's because there's sin in their lives. They're separated from God. They don't know God. They're lost. They're walking in darkness. And when you say, "Oh, God," I'm talking about a Holy Ghost-filled man saying it. I'm talking about a man full of the Spirit saying it. It shakes them. I laid my arms across his shoulders and wept and cried with him and prayed and sobbed before God. I looked back up 3 minutes later and the place was as empty as a tomb. Man, he vacated the premises. What are you saying? I'm saying this, that sin goes deep. Just as leprosy would get down into the bones, into the marrow, and finally attack the vitals and kill the person, and there was no cure for it. There's no earthly cure for sin. It gets deep. It plunges deep. And then the priest would see if it would spread. And if it would spread, it was pronounced leprosy. Now listen to me. God had a plan for every one of these sentences in Leviticus 13 and 14. 13th chapter. Basically 45th and 46th verses, if I remember correctly. Let me tell you this. Sin itself will spread. The little boy is told by his mother, don't you bother those cookies, you've had enough. She goes about her work. She comes back an hour later. She looks in the cookie jar. 8 more are gone. She calls the kid in. Did you take the cookies? He's stolen the 8 cookies, but now he tells a lie and extends the sin further and says, no, I didn't do it. Sin spreads. Some of you men in this audience tonight, you might think, well, man, this is a new age. It's the age of situation ethics. It's the age when anything goes. I'm being unfaithful to my wife. So what? It's not going to hurt anything. This is a new age. Nothing won't matter. It won't amount to anything. Sir, you can't take sin and bottle it up and make it stay. Just as leprosy would spread over the human body and finally eat the fingers away, eat the hands away, eat the nose away, eat the hair away, eat the toes away, eat the ears and the nose and finally kill the person, sin will spread. It'll spread. You won't stop it there, mister. You started out with the dirty jokes. It finally grew to a dirty leer. Then it finally went all the way. You're sick inside, but you think I can contain it. You can't contain it. Young lady, you think you can smoke your cigarette and stop? You can't. It'll be a marijuana cigarette next. It'll be illicit sex in the backseat of an automobile. Then it'll be an abortion. And then there'll be nothing left but a burned out shell. And you're wrecked and you're destroyed because it spreads. It spreads. It spreads. This is the thing I want to get over to you. It'll spread. There are multiplicities of millions that thought I could take that one drink. Won't bother me. I can drink socially. I can handle my liquor. You're a fool. Is that blunt? That's exactly what I mean to be blunt. You're a fool. You can't handle sin. It'll spread. Listen to me, Christians. Listen to me, saints of God. You let a seed of jealousy get planted in your heart. How many Christians come up to me? How many Christians come up to these pastors and say, I know I'm not living right, but that thing that's in your heart that's making you say I'm not living right, it won't stop there because Satan's playing for keeps. It'll spread. Jealousy will get into hate. Hate will go into bitterness. Finally, you'll get to the place until your testimony's gone. Your joy is gone. Your victory is gone. There's no longer a smile of glory. The people praise God and you sit there and the devil eats, 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 eats. You start missing church. I talked to a man 8 years ago. I sat down in his car with him. He was old enough to be my daddy. I felt led of God to go. I didn't pull any punches. I talked to him harder than I've ever talked to anyone in my life. I don't mean in anger. I mean just laid it out. I felt led of God to do it. I just laid it out. I saw things there that were eating him. Bitterness. Jealousy. I saw it and I loved him. And I went to him and I said, sir, it's going to kill you. It's going to destroy you. If you let this thing continue, there will come an hour when your wife will have to leave you. She won't be able to stand it. There'll come an hour when there'll be no one in this world that will care if you live or die. There'll come an hour. I'm talking about a man that had been a preacher. I'm not talking about a prostitute or a harlot or a whoremonger. I'm talking about a man that was preaching. Talking about a preacher. You hearing me? Sin doesn't respect anybody. It doesn't respect the bishop. It doesn't respect the pastor. It doesn't respect the priest. It doesn't respect the layman. It doesn't respect the child. He got so angry at me, I think he would have hit me. Just for a little bit. 8 years have come and gone, and exactly what I felt led of God, and I told him in love. It happened exactly as I said. I say that with no joy. No, I told you so. No, 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 no. What are you saying? I'm saying it spread. Today he staggers in a quagmire of confusion, a vortex of emptiness. He doesn't know whether he's coming or going. His life is torn to pieces. Yes, his wife left him. He's married again now. And they were going to be divorced the other day. It's torn, wrecked, because Christian, if you think you can contain it. So what? I've got a temper. So what? Nothing. It will spread. It will spread. It will spread. And then when they pronounce leprosy, strange thing. The commandment of God Almighty was this. Their clothing was not our Western types of suits, but God was showing a picture of something. They by and large wore robes. The men wore robes, the ladies wore robes, different types, but robes. And God said the leper has to tear his robe. He has to rip it up the side or up the back or up the front, but the robe has to be torn. Showing inadequate protection. It was a type of man's inadequate covering. Showing that leprosy could not really be covered. It had to be torn to show the leprosy. What was God telling us? I'm telling you what he was saying. Your good works, your good intentions. You listen to me tonight, you boast to treat my family right, I pay my debts, I pay my taxes. I'll admit I don't live for God, but I'm a pretty good man. Oh, sir, you're a lost sinner on your way to hell because your good works and your good intentions and your hard labor and all of that, as good and noble as it is, it won't save you. And I want to go a little further, and you listen to me carefully. There are multiple millions in the United States and the world, over hundreds of millions that are trusting in their religion to save them. Listen to me, Catholics, I love you. God knows I love you, and I don't say this with malice. I say it because in prayer this afternoon, the Spirit of God, I believe, said, say it. You can keep your low mass. You can keep your high mass. You can confess to the priest until your knees are rubbed raw. You can pray with a prayer bead. You can pray to the statues. You can keep the Catholic faith and die and go to hell because it's a religion. Is that hard preaching? Is that hard preaching? I said, God, people will get angry with me. They will say that that's not right. Don't rock the boat. Don't say anything. But there are millions going to hell. Millions going to hell. And someday before God, the Catholics are going to scream at somebody and say, why didn't you tell us that praying to statues won't save us, confessing to priests won't save us, that doing these things won't save us, that we had to accept Jesus as our personal Savior before we could get saved. We're not playing tiddlywinks. This is serious business. It's a matter of life and death. It's eternity. Listen to me, Baptists. Listen to me, Methodists. Listen to me, Presbyterians and Episcopalians. Listen to me, my God. How many? Religion, 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 religion. Are you saved? Well, I'm Baptist. I'm a member of the Baptist. I'm a member of the Methodist. I'm a member of the Presbyterian. I'm a member of the Episcopalian. I didn't say that. That's an inadequate covering. It won't work. You can be faithful to the Baptist church, faithful to the Methodist church, faithful to the Presbyterian church, and millions are, and they don't know Jesus. They
They've never been saved, never been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Some of you here tonight, you're going to get mad at Jimmy Swaggart. You're going to get angry. I know I read some of the letters. They get vexed at me and say, I don't like what you said. I can't help it, but I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. Listen to me, Pentecostals. God help me tonight. God help me tonight. There used to be a day when you said, I'm saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. Even though the churches were little old storefront buildings. Even though the churches had been started under a little old tent tabernacle and rotten eggs and rotten vegetables thrown at the folk. Even though that we didn't have much, we were on the wrong side of the track. When you said, I'm Pentecostal, it means I'm saved by the blood of Jesus and I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. But the times, they are a-changing. I don't like to be a killjoy. But my God, how many Assembly of God churches, how many Church of God churches, how many Pentecostal Holiness churches, they no longer ring with the shouts of the redeemed. There's no longer the glory of God. They've ripped the altars out of the churches and stick somebody in a back room if they want to get saved. And if somebody says, praise the Lord, an usher will stare at them. We don't do that anymore. We've got our degrees behind our name. We've become educated. When if God doesn't help us and we don't have Holy Ghost revival, we're going to go the same way as others. I'm to the place, and I say this with tongue in cheek, and I don't mean it, but I'm going to say it anyway. I think sometimes that God's work would be furthered if headquarters and denominational headquarters would just be burned to the ground and just start all over again. Religion, 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 it's a stiff. We know it all. The fault with the Pentecostal, and I am one, and I can say it. If you want to get mad, honey, just come on. The fault is we've seen it all. We've got it. Man, you can't show us anything. That's a spirit from the pit. That's a spirit from the pit. You ought to be just as thrilled with Jesus today. You ought to be just as overjoyed with Jesus today as you were the night you got saved 15, 20, 30, 40 years ago. You ought to shout when you get happy. You ought to weep over the saved, and you ought to shout with the redeemed and weep over the lost. God help us. Inadequate covering. God said, tear the garment. Rip it. And then the leper always had to be bareheaded. He never could wear a hat. She could never wear a hat. Why? Two reasons. First of all, the leprosy as a portrayal of sin. God was saying, my wrath is poured out in judgment on sin. And there is no protection. And there was a second meaning, a double meaning to it. It meant that there was no defense against Satan. The poor person had no defense. I see poor old people without God. They're deceived and they're blinded and they don't know where they're going and what they're doing. And Satan is working them to completely destroy them. There's no protection. You listen to me, young people. You listen to me, mother and dad. I wouldn't walk out this door tonight if I didn't know Jesus. Let me tell you, the very air is filled with demon spirits. This is not some words that's spoken from the glib tongue of a professional evangelist. I mean, the very air in St. Louis, Missouri is literally filled with demon powers. Demon spirits that have come to steal and influence and wreck and destroy and hurt and harm and hinder. That's the reason we've got 10 million staggering drunken alcoholics in America. That's the reason we've got 7.5 million problem drinkers. That's the reason that gambling is becoming widespread in our nation. That's the reason tonight that millions of young people are ramming a rusty needle in their veins. My God, they want to quit, but they can't quit. Because there's no protection, no protection, no protection. Sin is wide open. No protection. I stand here tonight through no merit of my own, but through the blood of Jesus. But I am protected. Hallelujah. I am protected. Thank God. You say you're boasting only in Jesus. Only in Jesus. Only in Jesus. I care not today what tomorrow may bring, though shadow of sunshine or rain. For Jesus I know ruleth over everything, and all of my worry is vain. Glory to God. I'm protected. I've got on a hat. A spiritual covering. Praise God. Satan can't get to my brain. He can't get to my mind. He can't get to my heart. Because I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. The leper was made to go bareheaded. No protection. I'm going to preach all night if I don't watch it. This is a strange thing. The leper not only had to go bareheaded and have his garment torn, but he had to tie a cloth, an old dirty cloth, around his neck, and it would cover his upper lip. And he had to continuously say every time he saw somebody, unclean, 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 unclean. You would hear that mournful cry, unclean, unclean. People would steer away and walk away from him. Unclean. Leprosy is not contagious. You say, well, why didn't they pin them up? Why didn't they put them in buildings? Why didn't they shut them up? Because leprosy is not contagious. There's no germ of leprosy that wafts through the air that you can breathe or will light up on your skin and cause you to contract leprosy. It's not contagious, but it is infectious. There's a difference in contagion and infection. Something that is infectious, you have to touch it to contract it. No one was allowed to touch a leper. You have to touch them to contract it. If you didn't touch them, and the law of God was, don't touch them. Separate yourself from them. Don't touch them, because as long as you don't touch them, you can't contract it. But if you touch them, it's infectious. And you listen to me, saints, and this is where some churches are missing it, and some preachers are missing it, and some people are missing it. Through this Bible from Genesis to Revelation, it says, separate yourselves. Separate yourselves. Separate yourselves. Separate yourselves. Don't touch it. Don't touch it. Don't touch it. Jimmy Swaggart gets up and I feel like a fool, 1979. Everybody's doing it. Preachers laugh at me and folk make fun of me when I tell them don't go into these old movies. Christians, get out of them. You know why? Because you'll get infected. You'll get infected. You can be in the middle of this world with sin all around you, the very air filled with it, but it won't touch you unless you mix yourself up with it. That's the reason he said to come out from among the world and be separate, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will receive you. Be separate, separate, separate. He wasn't being mean. He wasn't being backward. He was knowing that it was infectious, and you would get infected. You say, I can go to that disco. It won't bother me. You can go ahead and go. After a while, you're going to see a scab on your arm. Spiritually speaking. You hearing me? Smoke my cigarettes, it won't bother me. I can play some cards for a nickel, a dime, a dollar. It won't bother me. I can bet on the games. It won't bother me. Get infected. Get infected. You get infected. That's what's wrong with many Christians today. They're infected. Hard preaching. I'm hitting some folk. You're kind of sitting there stumbling and staggering around. Because we've got Assembly of God people by the thousands, Church of God people by the thousands, Pentecostal Holiness Four Square that started socially drinking. It don't bother me because I can handle it. There's nothing wrong with a little glass of wine before meals. One man told me just the other day, I don't see anything wrong with it. I said, brother, you go ahead and do what you want to, and you can get drunk all you want to. I'd rather be drunk on new wine. It comes from glory. Praise the Lord. We're living in a new age, Brother Swaggart. We've got liberty. Yes, you have liberty, but not license. There is a reason this word tells us from Genesis to Revelation, separate, separate, separate. There's a reason God told Israel, don't mix with the surrounding nations. Be separate, be separate, be separate. There's a reason God said, don't mix this, don't mix that. He was teaching us a lesson. I'm not meaning to get in some legalism. God hates legalism. A bunch of old rules. You can't do this, can't do that, can't do this, can't do that. I'm not talking about that. But I am talking about your life before God is not to see how much of the world you can get and still make heaven, but it's to see how close to Jesus Christ you can get and stay and grow closer to Him. The leper was alone. The priest ordered him to stay alone. He had no friends. There were no people that were with him. There were no confidants. He was alone. And the clamor and the rot and the filth of this world today, with all of its noise and hullabaloo and jeering crowds and screaming mobs and city streets filled, and the clamor of the media and the scream of the millions, there is a horrible loneliness to sin. Lonely, my God, it's so lonely. I talked to a man the other day. I dug him out of a nightclub, pleading with him, bound by drugs, bound by alcohol, bound by sin. He sat there with his head in his hands, weeping. I brought him into my home, and he said, I'm so lonely. Oh, God, I'm so lonely. I sit down in those nightclubs and run my fingers across those piano keys, and the lights blare up on them in the crowd, and their drunken stupor screams and shouts and clamors for more, but it's so lonely. Wife has left me. My mother's dead. My son's dead, and it's lonely. You listening to me? Are you hearing me? Young people, it's a lark when you start. It's a big time. The lights are bright and live it up. But there'll come a day it'll be lonely. Mister, you think I'm going to do what I want to do? I'll leave my wife and family and walk out the door. There'll come a time when it'll be lonely. You'll be so lonely, there's nothing but a sordid, sickening loneliness. I'm persuaded to believe one of the horrors of hell is going to be loneliness. You hearing what I'm saying? Lonely, 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 because you'll burn in darkness forever and forever. Lonely, lonely. I don't know what I'd do without the fellowship of God's people. This is it, brother. Glory to God. I'd rather be here in the White House tonight if they didn't know Jesus. Oh, I'm telling you, you Christians, you're so fortunate. You love the friends that are with you that know Jesus like you do, and you're much closer to them than you are some of your own brothers and sisters in the flesh that's not been saved, because the blood ties of Jesus makes us one, makes us one, makes us one. Friendship with Jesus, fellowship, that's one of the great things about living for God, is the fellowship. Glory to God, it's a fellowship. I'm going to shout right now. It's a fellowship. It's a fellowship. Thank God I've got mothers and daddies all over this world. I've got brothers and sisters all over this world. I've got sons and daughters all over this world, because we've been saved by the same blood, cleansed by the same blood, filled with the same Spirit. Fellowship, fellowship, fellowship. And something is wrong with you if you say, I'm saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, and you are not a member of my church. And don't get too close to me, because I'm too holy. You dodo turkey, you. Oh, God hates that. We may differ. We may differ, but when you gotta get mad about it and biting and mad and mean and biting and mean, something's wrong with you. Something's wrong with you. Something's wrong with you. Something's wrong with you. I can love anybody if they love Jesus. I can love them anyway, but I'm going to love that they love God. I don't care if they're Baptist, Methodist, Episcopalian, or trying to figure out what they are. I'm going to love them. Glory to God. I'm hitting kind of hard now. You in the back still with me? Praise God, I like that. They said they were. They're in a different state, but they're with us. This thing's along. There's a loneliness to sin. There's a fellowship with Jesus. Praise God, you're never alone when you're with Him. I've seen the lightning flashing. I've heard the thunder roll. Felt sin's breakers bashing, trying to conquer my soul. But I hear the voice of Jesus telling me to fight on. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never leave you alone. Glory to God. No, never, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave us. Never to leave us alone. Then the priest, last of all. You Christianettes, hold on, I'm going to quit. Starting to quit. I didn't say I was quitting. I said I'm starting to quit. There's a difference. The leper was never allowed to come to the priest. The priest went to the leper. Find that in the 14th chapter of Leviticus. The priest went to the leper. The priest sought out the leper. Looked for him, sought him out. Hunted for him, sought for him, seeked for him. When we were lost with no hope and no way to be saved, our heavenly priest sought us out and came down to this old earth looking for us, searching for us, hunting for us. The 99 safe in the fold, but he goes out over the rocky crags to look for that one lost sheep. Jesus is coming out of Jericho. The crowds are with him. They're calling his name, and through the din and through the hullabaloo and the calamity, there's a voice that screams from a blind beggar. Bartimaeus. O thou son of David, he cried. Shut up, beggar. Dressed in his rags and steeped in his blinded filth, he gropes in Stygian night of darkness. Oh, thou son of David. Shut up, beggar. Isn't this Jesus? Isn't it Jesus that's here? Yes, but shut up. Oh, thou son of David, he cried louder. And Jesus stopped because Bartimaeus was the one he was looking for. And the sweetest words I believe that Bartimaeus ever heard was when somebody in that din of the crowd shook his shoulder and said, be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth for thee. Hallelujah. I read that today and I hadn't stopped shouting yet. Be of good comfort. Rise. He calleth for thee. Ooh, I'm going to preach that one of these days. Glory to God. It was like the bud of springtime after the darkness of winter. That clarion call was like the rising of the sun after a darkened night. It was like the bud of a rose out of the cold earth. Don't weep anymore, but be of good comfort. Rise. He calleth for thee. Leper, listen to me. Going down, sin always leads you downward, graveward, hellward, darkward. God raises you upward, 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 upward. Be of good comfort and rise. He's calling for you tonight. The leper can be cleansed. The blood cleanses from all sin. Your hope is Jesus. Would you bow your head?